If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Patrick Dolan, Conti and Dolan Law. You hear him a lot on Your Money Matters or Let's Get Legal. We talk about employment law. You hear him all over this station. He is in a law firm, and that's the Conti, is of Karen Conti fame. Hello, Patrick. How are you today?
John, good. How are you?
Good. We talked on Let's Get Legal like 8 days ago, 9 days ago, about the proposed law to add some paid time off to city workers. We don't have all the details yet of everything that's in the bill that is now passed through the city council. Or I guess we say we don't have all the implementation details. There's a lot to still be worked out. But I thought we'd bring you on to explain exactly what it is. People are talking about it. Cool?
Yeah, that sounds great. So at least we know what we have, John. Last time we talked, we weren't even sure of that. So okay, let's run through some of the basics, and then I'll tell you how it differs between paid leave and paid sick leave.
Okay.
So the ordinance known as the Chicago Paid Leave and Paid Sick and Safe Leave Act goes into effect on December 31st. So it's applicable to everybody starting January 1st who works in Chicago. So it's all Chicago employees, right? They're required to be given 10 days of paid leave, 5 days of paid time off, and 5 days of paid sick leave, all right? So it applies to all employees who work in Chicago at least 2 hours within any two-week period. So it's going to apply to just about everybody. And both types of leave will accrue at 1 hour for every 35 worked. And it prohibits employers from requiring workers to find a replacement for their missed hours, which is a big deal for hourly folks, right?
Right. So, you're told you got to fill that slot at the bakery or at the shop in order to get any time off. And it still would be unpaid, usually. And now you got to, it's up to the manager.
Yeah. And so the worker does not have to do that, which I think, you know, is absolutely the right thing to do. So for paid leave, you're eligible after 90 days. Employers can require a pre-approval for business reasons, and they can actually deny the request if business needs can't accommodate that leave a request for paid time off. So businesses don't have to require any specific time for you to take off, but they do have to give you that time over a period of a year.
Mm.
And I think that's all. I think that was a compromise position because businesses were so concerned about people taking leave whenever they wanted to under that paid leave analysis.
Right. Sick time you can take off because you're sick, but you like most of us who have ever had a salary job, you can't just say, I'm taking a 5-day vacation starting tomorrow. You have to provide notice. Maybe there's time periods where people can't take vacation because of busy time. Like they're allowed to, the business is allowed to kind of set the parameters about how that those five, you know, time off for any reason days are used.
That's entirely correct. And employees can take it in 4-hour increments. You'd have to use 2 increments if you had 8 hours to take a day off, okay? But there's no documentation. You're right. Leave can be for any reason at all. Now, paid sick leave is very different. You're eligible after 30 days of working as opposed to 90 for the paid leave. If it's foreseeable, then employers can require up to 7 days of notice. So they can put in there a notice requirement. If the consecutive days is more than 3, then employers can require a doctor's note, okay? And that mirrors some other paid sick leave ordinances, state and federal. Now, importantly, it is for folks who are recovering from an illness, to care for a family member, or to address a domestic violence circumstance, okay? So that's where you get that safe leave ordinance aspect to the title of the law.
There's
rollover for both paid sick leave and paid leave requirements. So it's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit different in terms of what you have to do, but it's protected leave. There is rollover requirements. And, you know, I think there's the basic protections that are needed there. Now, really interesting, John, this is absolutely the most employee-friendly paid sick leave and paid leave law in the country.
Really?
And not just in big cities, yes.
What makes it different? You think, like you're saying, LA or other places have some things like this, right?
They do, but not 10 days. They don't have 10 days. And they don't have the rollover requirements there's lots of specifics in this particular ordinance that taken together just exceed other leave ordinances in this country.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely higher than the standard the state has, which has also changed in recent years, especially with the sick time thing. It just kind of goes with what we've been seeing in many different places across the country in the last few years, just this major push for employees to build in that required paid time off. I mean, it's certainly been a movement with some wind behind its back, huh?
Yeah, and I think that's just going to happen more and more as you see other cities, frankly, probably match the Chicago ordinance, at least cities like New York and L.A., maybe not some of the smaller cities. And I think this is a wave. I think you're entirely correct. And I think it's going to become more and more prevalent.
You're not an economist, but you're very smart, Patrick, so I'll ask you this question.
Oh, thanks, John.
Small business owners will, some have already, many others will cry foul about this. About the idea just that the burden is placed on these small businesses because, I know a lot of folks out there will be like, well, salaried workers have these time off. Yes, but one might argue that, you know, a salaried worker takes vacation. You don't have to fill someone to do that exact job for them while they're gone, essentially paying double for the same time. But if you're running a bakery or you're running a coffee shop or a small business like that, if one person's gone, they have to hire someone, you know, at a similar rate to them. This doubles the costs for those weeks and time that people are gone. This is going to really hurt small businesses, Patrick.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But I think we have to remember that it's very limited. Listen, we're not talking about a lot of days. I understand the concern, and it's a legitimate concern. And I think that's why we saw the days come down to 10, 5 paid sick, and 5 just paid time off, right? Initially, a lot of employee groups wanted a lot more than 10. There were 15, 20, stuff like that. So it came down to, I think, 10 as a compromise. So I certainly understand the concern, but, you know, it's not a lot of days. And one important point, so there's no payout upon termination for sick leave. There is for paid leave. However, if the company has 50 or less employees, they do not have to pay out any leave days that have accrued during that time period. So I think that's an aspect of savings for those small businesses.
Meaning if someone was leaving, quitting on their own, or if they were fired, if they had sick time, you lose, but you have the PTO for whatever you want. The businesses, if they're under 50, they don't have to pay that out, whereas elsewhere and pretty much everywhere, they do over 50 employees. You're entitled to that accrued time off.
That's correct. And for the paid leave only, the payout upon separation, is a higher increment based on the number of employees you have. So if it's, 50 to 100, they have to pay out no more than 2 days. And if it's over 100, you got to pay all of it out. But for small businesses, at least there's that savings that they do not have to pay out upon separation for paid leave days.
11:43 here on WGN, talking with Patrick Dolan, County and Dolan Law. Last question here for you, Patrick, I think. 708 sure. Wants to know, what if I'm employed by a California company, but I live in Illinois? Do I get those days? And I guess that specifically would be like if you work in Chicago remotely for a California company, what happens there?
Well, this law says it requires for all Chicago employers. Hmm. So I'm not sure the protection for someone who works in Chicago would apply for that ordinance. But I will say a lot of employment laws are applicable to someone who works. A lot of the Illinois and local employment laws are applicable to folks who work in Chicago for companies outside of Illinois. So we don't know what's going to happen with this particular ordinance, but that could go that way as well. So. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But it does require all Chicago employers, it says.
All right, a lot to digest. I know we chewed through the fat last Saturday before we saw the specifics. And the one complaint people kept on calling in about was like that you could take PTO whenever you wanted the day before. Seems like they sorted that out between the committee and the full city council vote, as you were saying, right?
Yeah, they did. It needs to be. Businesses can deny it if they cannot accommodate that leave. So there's got to be some, that's sort of a normal interaction for paid time off, I think. I do not think that's unusual.
For sure. All right, Patrick Dolan, where can people reach you?
Conti and Dolan at 312-332-7800.
And you can call Patrick for any employment question you've got, whether you just got hired, whether you just got fired, or something quirky's happened in the office. I'm sure you say it better than I do, Patrick, but we're out of time. Take care, okay?
Thanks, John.
It's Patrick Dolan.